name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The life of Saint Faustina Kowalska is a life full of love and mercy. She wanted the mercy of God to shine in her life, in all its splendor, and God chose her to be an apostle and messenger of His mercy in the world. Jesus appeared to her frequently and ordered her to paint an image of Him as she saw Him, with two rays, white and red, coming out of His heart. It is the well-known image of the Lord of the Divine Mercy. Jesus taught her the Chaplet of the Divine Mercy, also called the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Pray especially for sinners and dying people, promising many blessings to those who prayed it, and also to those who are the apostles of mercy. As in the lives of all saints, the devil appeared to her in different ways, and not just one, but many. But she, with the grace of God, could reject them. She tells us some anecdotes about the reality of the devil. On Friday morning, when I was going to the chapel for Holy Mass, suddenly I saw a large juniper bush on the sidewalk, and in it a horrible cat that, looking at me with evil, prevented me from going to the chapel. One single invocation of the name of Jesus, and everything disappeared. I offered an entire day for dying sinners. During the Holy Mass, I felt in a particular way the closeness of the Lord. After Holy Communion, I looked at the Lord with confidence and said, "Jesus, I very much want to tell you something." And the Lord looked at me with love and said, "And what do you want to tell me?" "Jesus, I ask you by the inconceivable power of your mercy that all the souls that die today avoid the infernal fire, even if they were the greatest sinners. Today is Friday, the memorial of your bitter agony on the cross. As your mercy is inconceivable, the angels will not be surprised." And Jesus hugged me to his heart and said, "Beloved daughter, you have known well the abyss of my mercy. I will do as you ask, but do not cease to unite yourself continuously to my dying heart and satisfy my justice. You must know that you have asked me a great thing, but I see that it has been dictated by the pure love you have for me. Therefore, I satisfy your request." Jesus taught me how much He likes the prayer of reparation. He told me, "The prayer of a humble and loving soul appeases my Father's anger and draws a sea of blessings." After the adoration, halfway to my cell, I was surrounded by a great pack of huge black dogs, jumping and howling with the intention of tearing me to pieces. I realized that they were not dogs, but demons. One of them said angrily, "As tonight you have taken from us many souls, we will tear you to pieces." I replied, "If such is the will of the most merciful God, tear me to pieces, because I have justly deserved it, being the most miserable among sinners, and God is always holy, just, and infinitely merciful." To these words the demons all answered together, "Let us flee together, because she is not alone, but the Almighty is with her." And they disappeared from the road like dust, like a rumor, while I, calmly finished the Te Deum, went to the cell, contemplating the infinite and unfathomable divine mercy. Another day the devil appeared to me in the form of a ghost and told me, "Do not pray for sinners, but for yourself, because you will be condemned." Ignoring Satan, she continued to pray with double fervor for sinners. The evil spirit screamed in rage, "Oh, if I had power over you," and disappeared. I knew that my suffering and my prayer had Satan bound, and many souls were freed from his clutches. One day in late March 1935, around noon, I walked into the chapel for a moment, and again the power of grace struck my heart. While remaining in meditation, Satan took a vase of flowers and angrily threw it to the ground with all his might. I saw all his anger and envy. There was no one in the chapel, so I got up and picked up the vase of flowers and put the flowers inside the vase, and I wanted to put it quickly in place before someone came to the chapel. However, I did not succeed, because the Mother Superior, the sacristan sister, and some other sisters immediately entered. The Mother Superior was surprised that I touched something on the small altar, and that the vase of flowers had fallen. The sacristan showed her discontent. I tried not to excuse myself or justify myself, but in the evening I felt very exhausted and could not do the holy hour, and I asked Mother Superior for permission to go to bed earlier. Once in bed, I fell asleep immediately. However, around 11 o'clock, Satan shook my bed. I woke up immediately and began to calmly pray to my guardian angel. Suddenly, I saw the souls who were making atonement in purgatory. Their appearance was like a shadow, and among them I saw many demons. One of them tried to tease me by throwing himself like a cat on my bed and feet, and it was as heavy as if he weighed a ton. All the time I prayed the rosary. At dawn, those figures left, and I was able to fall asleep. In the morning, when I went to the chapel, I heard the voice in my soul, "You are united to me, and do not be afraid of anything. But you must know, my child, that Satan hates you. He hates many souls, but he burns with particular hatred toward you, because you plucked many souls from his power." On October 11th, 1936, at night, while writing about this great mercy of God and the great benefit for souls, Satan burst into the cell with great rage and fury, took the folding screen and began to tear it apart and break it. At first, I was a little scared, but immediately, with a small crucifix, I made the sign of the Holy Cross. The beast quickly calmed down and disappeared. Today, I did not see this monstrous figure, only his anger. Satan's rage is terrible. The folding screen, however, was not torn or broken. Calmly, I continued writing. I know well that without the will of God, that wretched demon will not touch me. But why does the evil one behave like that? He begins to assault me openly, with much rage and hatred, but the evil one does not disturb my peace for a moment, and this serenity of mine provokes his anger. On November 30th, 1937, at night, as I was climbing the stairs, a strange feeling to all divine things seized me. Then I heard Satan say to me, "Don't think anything about your work of mercy. God is not as merciful as you say. Do not pray for sinners, because they will be condemned despite everything, and by this work of mercy, you are exposing yourself to be condemned. About this mercy of God, you must never speak with the confessor, and especially with Fathers Sopoco and Andrazi." At that moment, the voice took on the aspect of the guardian angel. Then I replied, "I know who you are, the father of lies." I made the sign of the Holy Cross, and that angel disappeared with a great noise and rage. One day, a disgust for all things came over me. Then I heard the voice of Satan, "Look how contradictory is everything that Jesus gives you. He makes you establish a convent and sends you sickness. He orders you to make arrangements to institute the Feast of Mercy, while the world does not want such a feast at all. Why do you pray for this feast? This feast is inopportune. My soul kept silent and prayed with an act of goodwill, without entering into dialogue with the spirit of darkness. However, a strange feeling took hold of me, that I had to make a great effort of the will to accept it. And I heard again the words of the tempter spirit, "Ask for your death tomorrow after Holy Communion. God will listen to you. Since he has listened to you so many times and has given you everything you have asked of him." I kept quiet and prayed with an act of will, or rather I submitted myself to God, asking him within me not to abandon me at this moment. It is now 11 o'clock at night, and the sisters are sleeping in their cells. Only my soul struggles with great effort. The tempter spirit continues, "What do you care about other souls? You should only pray for yourself. Sinners, they will be converted without your prayers. I see that at this moment you are suffering a lot, and I give you some advice on which your happiness will depend. Never speak of divine mercy, and do not specially invite sinners to trust in divine mercy, because they deserve a just punishment. Another very important thing, do not speak to the confessors about what is happening in your soul, and especially to that extraordinary father and that priest from Vilna. I know them. I know who they are. That's why I want to warn you about them. Try to be a good sister. Just live like the others. Why are you exposing yourself to so many difficulties?" I remain silent, and with an act of will, I persevere all in God. Even though a moan escapes from my heart, at last the tempter left, and I, exhausted, fell asleep immediately. In the morning, when I received Holy Communion and immediately entered my cell, I fell to my knees and renewed the act of submission in everything to the most holy will of God. I beg you, Jesus, give me strength to fight, that your most holy will be done in me. My soul has fallen in love with your most holy will. At that moment, I saw Jesus, who told me, "I am happy with what you do. Stay calm if you always do everything in your power for all this work of mercy." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.